In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I want to speak about something that troubles many, many people. The Lord Jesus Christ says, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Think about this. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. How many of you have prayed without result? How many have prayed without result? Okay. So here are the conditions for prayer. You first have to ask correctly. The Lord is not going to give you something that is going to injure you. Lord, if I could just know where my next fix was coming from. Lord, not me, not me. The guy down on the block who's the purveyor of those kinds of things, ask him. But not me. Even the prayers of holy people. Think about St. Paul. Have you ever thought about St. Paul? How many times did he ask the Lord to have this thorn in his flesh removed? 3 times. And the Lord said, no. My grace is sufficient for you. Why did he say that? Well, the fathers postulate that the reason that it was said was because St. Paul, with all of his successes, might have become arrogant or egotistical, or thought like many people that when they have piled success upon success, that they are something great. And he said, no, I want you to be certain who this power comes from. So that's a holy prayer that goes unanswered. And then there is the person who has a wayward relative, wayward husband, wayward wife, brother, sister, child, aunt, uncle, whatever. And you pray to the Lord, and you pray to the Lord, and you beg for this person to come back to the church, come back to the faith. And it's not answered. Why isn't it answered? Because your prayer was insufficient? No. Because the Lord didn't want that person to come back to the church? No. Because the person himself was obdurate, stubborn, hard-headed. Because he failed to accede to the requests of the one on earth who loved him and the one in heaven who had died for him. Sometimes when we pray without knowing that the Lord has already said yes to us. But he has also had the proviso saying, I'm going to give you exactly what you've asked for, but not yet. There are going to be these things that are going to happen first, and then you're going to get it. You're not going to get it immediately, but you are going to get it. I agree with you. It requires patience and it requires trust. But there are people who are confused all the time. People come up to me and say, Lord, I've asked for this, I've asked for this. You know, I'm trying to graduate from school, you know, and I'm having difficulties, and I'm taking tests, and the professors don't like me, and la, 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 la. I've heard everything I think there is to have been said. It reminds me, I looked at the title of one of Pope Shenouda's books and I laughed. It says, so many years with so many problems of the people. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine? And most of the questions are redundant. It's like you guys never talk to each other about spiritual things. You don't share things because you're ashamed that in your own family, stuff is happening that is very bad. And you take it because you were raised by Muslims. You're raised in a Muslim country. And oh boy, well, if you were Japanese, I told you this last time, face. If you remove face from the Japanese, they commit suicide. Or they try to kill you and then commit suicide. The offense takes different kinds of turns depending on the individual. But we don't share accept success, and that arouses jealousy. People get, oh, I just got this new car, look at this. Oh, I just got this new job. Oh, I just got a promotion. Oh, my kids are graduating from college. Oh my God, you know where my kid is going to school? Oh my God. Yeah? Tell me the other stuff. Tell me the backstory. Because every family has that backstory. Oh yeah, well, I've never made it. In my entire priesthood, I have never, ever made it a secret about anything in my life that was ugly. Because I want people to learn. You can overcome things, but you hurt others when you don't share these experiences. The reason that we have experiences of failure in the Bible to great people is because God wants us to learn from them. You guys over here, how would you like to marry a prostitute? A prostitute. Go to a house of prostitution and pay to get the woman out of prostitution. Who did that happen to? No one knows. A prophet of the Old Testament. Oh, yeah, what? He's scared. In fact, he says Hosea. Hosea is correct. You never read Hosea, have you? You don't even know what it means. Why would God tell a holy man who was a virgin, go and find a woman and take her for your wife who's been sleeping with hundreds? Remember that song in Jesus Christ Superstar? It's a song about this woman who's a harlot, and she's talking about Jesus, and just, I don't know how to love him. I'm not going to sing it for you, but I don't know how to love him. I've loved so many men before. He's just one more. No, he's not. He's God. But you see, we learn from Hosea. We learn from Hosea. The Lord didn't hate Hosea. His wife, after he took her out of the brothel and had a child with her, she cheated on him. It was not just that she was a person that was in a house of prostitution. She had a spirit of prostitution in her soul. And what was the Lord trying to say? You who don't read the Old Testament, this is Israel. This is my beloved people. They've gone a-whoring after other gods. That's a direct quote from the Bible. Israel has gone a-whoring. A-whoring. How do you keep your virtue when you're a whore? You don't. How do you regain your virtue when you are a whore? Love. Someone has to love you. And they have to love you more and more and more and more until the whoredom begins to lose its sense of place in your life. You have to feel that love, that sense of belonging, that you are more than just a commodity. This is the book of Hosea. It's a short, it's a very, very short book. You should all read it. Go home and read it. But the disciples see they were still scared as they could be. Their father was leaving them. And so they're asking for these things that are just incredible. What did they think the father was going to be if he had a son? And he was declared by the disciples as the Son of God. How then was he supposed to be? You see, if a father is a good father and the son is even a better son, the son will emulate the father. You know, it used to be the most proud thing in the world when a man had a business and he could finally put on the head of his business title, Joe and Sons. My wife used to work for a company called Maxon. The guy's name was Max. And he worked this business with his sons, So the name of the company became Max Un. He was so proud to do this. So-and-so and sons. So-and-so and sons. To have the son follow the father. You know, the disciples were continuously with him, and yet they didn't put two and two together. We have the benefit of seeing the resurrection of the Lord. We have the benefit of seeing the ascent of the Lord from earth to heaven. We have the benefit of all of the scriptures, of all that have been interpreted by the fathers for hundreds of years. So why would we ever depart from what we know to be true? Why would we ever fail? Well, we would fail for human reasons. And that is the reason that the disciples themselves in this moment failed. They were just scared. Fear compromises everything. Do you know now that there are people that are afraid to say what a woman is or what a man is because of the implications? I just heard something about the Cleveland Clinic. There's a whole bunch of Egyptians in the Cleveland Clinic. Pope Shenouda went to the Cleveland Clinic to get during his last days. Abu Ibrahim, he went to the Cleveland Clinic. He has his son-in-law that works there. The Cleveland Clinic is filled with Egyptians. And you know what they're doing now? They're saying things like, well, this person was assigned. They were assigned a gender when they were born. Do you know what that means? It means I'm going to change my assignment if I feel like it. I don't like this assignment. I want another assignment. And if they don't go along with that, these Christian doctors in Cleveland, if they don't go along with that, you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to get fired. Think about it. Guess how many are going to get fired? My bet would be zero. And do you know why? Well, if you work for the Cleveland Clinic, it's somewhat prestigious. Money's good. Housing's not as expensive as it is here in California. Lifestyle must be really great. So what are they trading? They're trading their integrity. Good old Cleveland Clinic. Check this out. Go on their website. Find out how they designate gender. I can't say what a woman is. Huh. Without people staring at me and saying, oh, look at the old dinosaur. He still thinks that is what a woman is. Yeah, that's right. I'm that old dinosaur, and I'm looking for a place to rest so I can turn into oil and feed your internal combustion engines at a later date. But until I bite the dust, I know what a woman is, and I know what a man is, and I know what the conjunction of man and woman bring. But there are a lot of people that will sell their integrity. They'll sell everything. Jesus saying, no matter what it is, no matter what it is, don't depart. Whatever you think you've had with me, it's going to be even greater because God the Father knows you love me, and because you love me, he loves you. What more confidence can we have before God than that? I hope I haven't soured you. I have to say one more thing. Next week, we will pray the Feast of the Pentecost. And after we have finished the liturgical prayers, we will go and we will have a bite to eat. And then we will come back and we will pray what in Arabic they call the Segda prayers. The prayers of prostration. This is for the birth of the church. The birth of the church. This is when the church was born. Peter preached on the day of the Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were converted with one sermon. With one sermon, I've driven about 300 away. But I tell you this for certain, absolutely for certain. It's incumbent upon all of us to pray for the church. And one more thing I will add, being that it's Father's Day. All of you, and if you don't have, maybe the church will have to make some kind of an allowance and create an icon especially for your home for Saint Cyril. He is the patron of our church. The first connection that I had with Saint Cyril was when we had the Gospel of Luke given to us that he explicated. And we went through that over the course of 3 years, because there's more than 150 sermons or 150 chapters. And it took 3 years, and we went piece by piece by piece through Saint Cyril. So all of you should come and support our father, Saint Cyril. Whether your father is dead or whether your father is alive, your father is still your father. Nobody can be greater than their spiritual father. No one can be greater than their spiritual father. Because in the day that you think you are greater than your spiritual father, you will realize that you have become your own father. That's just not biologically impossible, it is spiritually impossible. And if you do not have a good father of confession, I pray for my father of confession twice a day, because he fathers me. My father of confession doesn't happen to be as old as I am, but he's my father, and I treat him that way. And I do every single thing that he tells me to do, because I try to be a good son. But all of us have this same pull when we call someone father. Unless we're just doing it facetiously or we're doing it without thinking. Because if somebody you are really calling father, then you must treat him that way. The same way as if you are in a rahabet, a monastery of women, and you call one of the women, one of the old women, omena, you have to treat her that way. It's not just a title like sergeant. No, it's something way, way, way more important. So, from the Gospel of John to Father's Day to the coming Pentecost when the church is born, I wish all of you again the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying to you once again, Christos Anisti.